Welcome back to the Leaders Table. I'm your host, Ricky Villanueva, joined by my co-host, Chris Lipscomb.
Hey, guys.
Christy Schaaf is going to join us today on our podcast. And Christy's an alumnus of Chick-fil-A's Leadership Development Program and the current operator of North Bergen FSU in North Bergen, New Jersey. So, Christy, thank you for joining the Leaders Table.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we're going to dive right in. Love to start off and just hear a little bit about your story, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, my 12-year Chick-fil-A anniversary is coming up next month, which is super exciting. So yeah, I was going to school for teaching when I started at Chick-fil-A. A year into that, I realized that I love what I do and I didn't want to do anything else. And I also loved everything I knew, everything I loved about teaching. I could apply directly to what I do at Chick-fil-A. So I talked to my owner operator at the time, and he was actually in the interim manager program at the time, way back when he was in that program, and told me all the different options about Chick-fil-A. And so we started pivoting towards, you know, becoming an owner operator, getting into LDP. And so I worked for two different restaurants before LDP. I worked for Howell FSU in Monmouth County, New Jersey. And then I worked for Brick Township right before I entered the program. And so I entered LDP in 2022. I was the COVID class. COVID hit like 3-4 weeks afterwards. And that's where I met Ricky and Chris at an opening in St. Clairsville, because I was dispatched there because they did not know where to put me because all the malls shut down. So yeah, I was in the program for 26 months. So I exited at the 26-month mark. My last opening was in the city. The day I actually exited the program, the day after that opening happened, just because of the pushes and the timing. And then I actually went back to go work with my operator, Ted Rhyme, at Brick Township while I waited out this whole operator process. And so I was in the process for 3 years and 2 months. And so I was selected for North Bergen, New Jersey last year, August 22nd, which is still crazy. I'm 7 months in to being an operator, living the dream. It's been exactly what I thought it would be, the good, the bad, the ugly, I tell everyone. And I've never felt so fulfilled in my life.
That's awesome. I got a question for Christy. So yeah. what was the moment where you decided, okay, I'm not going to teach and I'm going to pursue owner operator?
It was definitely working at Chick-fil-A. I also was teaching at my local church. I ran the girls program at my church. And so I just realized that like everything that I loved about teaching, I could do with a broader audience. Like I was going to be stuck in four walls. I wanted to be an eighth grade math teacher. Not sure now looking back why I wanted to do that. But I was going to be stuck in a classroom with like 30 kids doing the same thing every day. And now I go into my restaurant. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm doing it with so many different people from so many different walks of life. And then also my community, right? Not just my team, but my community. I'm interacting with my guests all the time. I'm interacting with vendors. I'm interacting with so many more people. And that's just what I love about it. And I think that was like the pivot point when I realized like, oh, wow, like this isn't the same every day. I'm not stuck in four walls. Like I'm in the community. I'm in my restaurant. I just loved it.
So you had a teaching background. So what is it about teaching that you love so much?
Yeah, so I didn't go completely for teaching. So I actually graduated with employment and labor relations from Rutgers University because I realized that I didn't need a teaching degree to be an operator. I just needed a degree to be an operator. So my aunt was helping me at the time. And so we picked a degree that was more tailored towards what I was doing in the restaurant. But I think what I love about teaching is just growing and developing others. And you can see like in my restaurant right now, we have our team member room and on the wall are just like all posters with leadership development stuff like the iceberg, SMART goals, our culture page, all of that all over our wall because that is my classroom. And I think that helps me equip, like I tell my team all the time, knowledge is power in a good way, right? The more people know what we're doing, like that's just gonna help them like get those results in the end and help us start winning. So I think that's been super helpful for me.
Knowledge is power. Do you know who quoted that?
I don't, but some people think of it as a negative thing and I'm like, no, it's a good thing.
It's one of the first, I was homeschooled. It was one of the first like memories of what I learned in my history course. Francis Bacon, knowledge is power.
Awesome. Awesome.
Now you know.
Now I know.
Yeah. So tell me about your COVID class. You said when you started LDP, what month did you start?
February 2020.
Yeah. You can't get much closer than that.
Yeah. I think it was the 16th. So it was like the middle of the month. And the way it worked is we did 3 weeks of training at the support center. One was at the support center, one was in restaurant, and then one was at the support center. And then we went back out to do like a training assignment at like a mall, an interim manager. And then we were supposed to go back to the support center and do interim manager training at the time. And then that didn't happen because when I was there, I was supposed to be there, I think, for a week or two. And then the second week is when COVID happened. So 5 weeks into being in LDP, COVID happened and shut down all malls. And for those who have been in LDP, they know most interim managers are at malls. And so they had a whole bunch of participants that they didn't know where to put. They had our whole class they just hired. They had a whole bunch of trainers that couldn't come out to assignments because people couldn't fly. So I was sent to your assignment out in St. Clairsville to be a trainer in the program. And so I was a trainer for the first 2 months of being in the leadership development program. Mm.
Can you, if you remember St. Clairsville well, I have some really strong and vivid memories, but some of them are fleeting. How would you summarize St. Clairsville?
It was a crazy time because one, you were opening, two, it was COVID, and then you also had to deal with the COVID regulations. And then it was also in a state that I've never worked in. So, you know, you're trying to deal with all of that, plus open a restaurant and then like with limited trainers as well, right? And so we had some trainers that were I think the trainer team was very, very, very brand new. And I just remember like there was a lot of things like happening that probably shouldn't have happened just because of like the knowledge of some of the trainers coming in. So it was very difficult. I remember one morning I came in and the ice cream machine is leaking from the wheel. And I was like, what the heck is going on? And like the drive shafts were put in the wrong way. So the ice cream was going in the back of the machine, down all the gears and coming out the bottom. And I was like, what? That never have seen that happen in my whole entire career at Chick-fil-A besides that opening. I remember fryers were getting burnt up in the back because there was like inexperienced trainers. It was like a whole hot mess express going on at certain points. So yeah.
I'm glad I don't remember that ice cream story. I'm for taking care of that and not letting me know. Yeah. So for some context, there was three GOSs on that assignment, me and two others. One of the GOSs, she was pregnant with twins, so she was slated to leave the week before.
Yes.
Yep. So she left the week before grand opening as planned. And the other GOS, Jared, he developed a cough. And I think that was one of our first moments of having to like follow the COVID guidelines. And if you have symptoms, we wanted to be very cautious. And so he had a quarantine. So little old me, this is my third, I think, grand opening assignment. And I'm, you know, kind of lone rangering it right now. And then 80% of our trainer team gets, they cancel, their training or their flights. Cause we didn't know. There were some states that were requiring that you didn't enter or like it was so new. We had no idea. So people were really rightfully cautious and didn't want to travel to Ohio and do a grand opening. So
I don't think anyone wants
to go.
I own an open.
Exactly. So yeah, you were, I mean, kind of just a really highly paid trainer. But it was fun. Yeah. I remember when we all flew in.
I was closing and training the leaders how to like do money, do like all the leadership stuff at the end of the night because that's just where I was needed. Which is totally fine. Like I love I love teaching. So, and I love training, and that's like one of the fun things about my job is just like that piece. But yeah, there was a lot of just unknowns happening.
Yeah.
In grand opening setting.
Uh-huh. I remember when all of you flew in, all of the extra GOSs or LDP participants flew in on that Sunday, and we had like a mini LDP rally, if you will, in the hotel lobby. And I remember, I think God was just with me, like being my third assignment, having to lead other participants. I like kind of was like, oh, I got to like tell them what to do. This is kind of interesting. But the group was just amazing. I mean, you remember the group was just incredible. And it to this day, it's still one of my favorite assignments, because when do you ever get to work with 8 or 9 other participants on one assignment? And it's just everyone, zero ego. Like, oh, you need me to close, or you need me to open, or you need me to train the trainers that don't have absolute. So I still hold that as a really good memory for the most part. That assignment. It was good.
It was definitely a lot of fun. I met a lot of great people. Nick, who was at that opening as a leader, was actually in my fundamentals class. So we were able to reconnect. Nick Bram.
Oh, Nick Bram. Oh, duh. Yeah. Okay. Nick, my man. Shout out to Nick Bram. if this gets to him. I have some pictures of us at that opening. Very flattering, fun pictures of us. What would you say was your most challenging assignment? Was that it? Or like, what would you say was your most challenging LDP assignment?
Absolutely not. No. My challenging assignment was probably the one I went to right after I was a trainer. So I went back to the mall. That was my training assignment, because that participant was actually exiting LDP. And so the mall was still shut down. We had a freestanding unit right down the road, like literally less than 5 minutes from us. But we were still running third party and mobile curbside out of the mall. Now, this mall was not a very thriving mall before COVID. And so after COVID, I remember, I think we were one of 5 restaurants in the food court left. And then that was my first assignment. And I never really got like a training IM assignment, because I got ripped from it to go train and the mall shut down. So I was the only participant there. And then I got news that the mall was reopening, and I had to reopen. And then just to put some more context behind it, so the operator, the reason why it was a course, because that operator actually went to a grand opening restaurant about 15, 20 minutes from the mall and took the whole team. So my whole team was brand new for a week before. I'm sorry, it was brand new for a month before the mall shut down. And now half of them weren't coming back. And then everyone I'm left with has no Chick-fil-A experience. So I had to reopen this mall. I had to train everyone. I had to recruit and hire more people and train them. We had to get the restaurant ready to go. At that time, I did not know that opening up with a limited menu was an option. I just thought it was like, we had to have it fully ready to go, which was a learning experience for me. I remember there was like 2 times that I was like in the back hallway, like ready to quit LDP, like at that assignment. But here I am today, and I'm an operator, and which is still crazy. That was like, that was nothing compared to like what are some things I have to go through now. But yeah, that was definitely the roughest assignment. I was there by myself for about 4 months, and then they sent in someone, and then they shipped me off to a different assignment. So
for those watching that want to get into LDP and maybe become an operator or work for a support center, for those who want to get into LDP, what are the most common things you see them miss for them not to get told yes into the program?
Well, so yeah, actually, I was just talking to someone about this the other day, and I don't know if it's something that they wouldn't get told yes for, but like they would. But first, you have to have results that aren't your operators. And because they ask you that in LDP, and they also ask you that in your operator interviews as well. Like, you need to have like really strong like systems in place that you created that drove results. So like for me, like I had ones around people and food safety. Like those were my two really strong results that I was able to go in and be like, hey, like I did this and this was the result. So if you don't have strong results that you did and you were like, hey, I influenced this number, that's going to be a huge thing. Also you need, and I think the process has changed now, but I think they do like some type of like virtual visit. So, you know, like restaurant acumen part of it, but like you have to know how to order truck. You have to know how to bread chicken. You have to know how to do this. Like that's going to make your life 10 times easier. Like I can bread chicken. I'm not the fastest, but I can train someone and I can bread alongside someone and get them out of like the red. Right. And so you need to know every single position in that restaurant. And like I said, it's not that you won't get into LDP, but it's going to make your life a lot easier when you do get into it. Like you also need to know like supplier invoices, payroll. Like even if you're not the one doing it every day, you just need to have like some knowledge going into it. Just because when you get thrown into the program, like, and you're an IM and you're by yourself, like that's all on you. And so if you don't like, if you don't know, like you're going to be stuck in a Berkshire Mall assignment where you're just doing everything yourself, dealing with people issues, dealing with training issues, and then having to also like do all this back office stuff. So if you're just not, if you don't have the fundamentals down, it's going to be a lot harder for you in the program.
Well, we got Ricky back. I was going to say Ricky had to take care of some technical difficulties.
Sorry, yeah.
Chrissy, I thought that was good. A lot about results. And yeah, I agree. I think I've had the opportunity to coach a few clients that are looking to LDP, and they may have like, hey, I want to apply in 6 months. Right. And if you can't confidently speak to your results, it just makes it really hard. Like it just makes it pretty difficult. Is it impossible? If you don't have all those things that you said, Christine, not impossible, but man, you make it harder on yourself if you can't clearly say, was responsible for, and then here's how I contributed, and here's how I drove that. Like it's just easier, like you said.
And I have someone at my restaurant right now who's actually trying to get into LDP like within 2 years, and I just know, like, listen, you need to know everything about this restaurant, but you also need to get results. And I think something that my operator allowed me to do, he just gave me the freedom to run the restaurant as if it was my own. Mm-hmm. And just gave me that freedom to just like, hey, try this, try that. And he wasn't micromanaging me. And so I'm really encouraging this newer leader that started on with me. He's been with Chick-fil-A for a really long time, but I'm like, just like, get your results, like try something. He's always asking me like, oh, can I do this? I'm like, yeah, do whatever you want. Like you're in this role for a reason. Like I want you to help you get into your, you know, goals down the line. But if you need to like try things, if they don't work, try something else. But get your own results while you're here, because it's going to help you one for LDP and then two for operator down the road.
Yeah.
Chrissy, what advice would you give to someone who's looking to apply for LDP? They're not in like a GM role or a director of operations role. You know, maybe they're a drive-through director or a front of house director, you know, but they're not running the entire restaurant, but they have responsibilities that they can speak to. Like, what advice would you give to those individuals?
Yeah. So there's three things that you need to focus on. So it's business acumen, restaurant acumen, and then leadership development. Right. And so it's like, if you don't have those three things, you need to figure out where you're going to get those three things. So I know sometimes it's hard if you're like stuck in a drive-through director role. Maybe you're not like that top dog looking at like the business acumen side of things, right? But because I remember going in there into my LDP interview, and I've never looked at IPO, and I've never looked at a restaurant data report, because that's just not something that my operator focused on. And I remember Laura Turbyfield at the time, I think it's Tassin now, and she pulls up this report and she's like, oh yeah, let's walk through this. Tell me about your restaurant. And I go, honestly, I've never looked at that report, but I can talk to you about these numbers. Right. And so like, even though you just need to know, like how to understand the business. And because I was able to understand the business, I was able to read that report, even though I've never seen it. So, and if you're not getting it from your operator, like if you're a grand open at grand openings, get it from your grand opening supervisor. I know that they'll sit down and teach you. Like a lot of my grand opening supervisors sat down and taught me a lot of stuff with interview prep, restaurant acumen. Like if you're coming from the restaurant, like you need to know like that restaurant acumen, and then the leadership development piece. Like, you know, you have to be a people person if you're going to be an operator or an LDP. You need to know how to work with people. You need to know how to develop people. You need to know how to motivate people. You need to know how to get results out of people. And so if you don't have that stuff and if you're not developing yourself as well, like you're not going to be able to grow and get into LDP.
Rick, you had a question, I think, before I cut you off.
All good. Yeah. I just like, where do you find that balance of, hey, like try all these different things that you want, and then also where you're kind of very intentional with training them or developing them. I think sometimes people take that as like, oh, hey, I'm on my own, right? So I didn't really get to learn as much as I wanted to. I wanted to also learn from my operator. So where's that balance where it's like, hey, go do your own thing, but also how much and how much time should you dedicate to that leader that wants to learn more? I don't know if that question makes sense.
Yeah, I think so. So are you asking like, you know, because obviously you need to go and get your results on your own, but are you asking like how much time like I pour into developing him? Is that like the question you're kind of asking?
No, yeah, I guess part of it. So I guess let me see if I can clarify it. So I think
Oh, we lost.
But let me do my best Rick impersonation.
I think I know what he's asking, and I think it has to do. So first off, like one of my, like I'm going to be really proud if someone gets into LDP and becomes an operator one day. Right. So like my job as that person's leader is how do I equip them with every being of me to get them to reach their goals right now. So I am very like, hey, you need to set up time with me. Like that's with all of my leaders in the restaurant. Like if they want to grow and develop, it's on them. So like I have a Calendly that I organize my time with. So they know that they can just sign up for my calendar and book time on my calendar. Right. But if they're not doing that, like if they're not coming to me and being like, hey, Christy, like I want to, like I'm ready for my next class. Cause we do like leadership classes if they're trying to be like a trainer, a shift leader, a director. And so if they're not coming to me and being like, hey, Christy, like, you know, I want to do my next class. Like I'm not hunting anyone down, right? I'm not hunting anyone down. And so, yes, like I'm going to teach you everything you need to know. I told my leaders all the time, I'm an open book. I don't hide anything from them. Like I'm very transparent with all parts of the business, but they need to take the initiative to sign up time with me. I remember when I was still learning about the business side of things before LDP, like I would meet with my operator once a month for like an hour or two, and we would just literally go through the FCR, and I would read it to him. Eventually I would try to identify like mistakes on the FCR, because that's something like I've never been taught, and they're not going to teach you an LDP like, oh, like there was an accounting problem, but that's your money as an operator if there's an accounting problem, right? But yeah, I hope that answers the question.
It was a great answer, Ricky.
Oh,
man, we get bits and pieces of Rick. Well, hey, I think this is payback, because I've had to miss, I think, one or two recordings, and he's had to fly solo. So this is just my opportunity to, or his opportunity to pay back or pay it forward, I guess.
Exactly.
Christy, what's been the biggest difference between LDP and now being an operator?
Oh, it's all on you. And then like you have to make the final decisions. Like you're not filtering it through your consultant. You're not filtering it through like Chick-fil-A's legal department. Like it's all on you. But I will say like that time in LDP has definitely equipped me better to be more prepared with handling the legal issues as an operator. But yeah, the compliance stuff is like so much. And like, I'm a very type A person. Like I want to follow the rules. And so like, that was my biggest fear going into operators. Like, how do I stay compliant? How do I stay up to date? But just like utilizing those resources. I think also it's been really weird, like in a good way, like when you're in a operating partner role, which that was my role before operator at Brick, like the relationship I have with the team, the way, actually, it's like more of like the way they treat me is very different. And I remember that first month being an operator, like the way they talked to me, the way they interacted with me, it was because like I was, it wasn't a bad thing, but it was like they were talking to me differently because I was the operator and owner of the business. And that was a really big, like, whoa, like this is a little weird. Cause like the way that my team talked to me when I wasn't the operator was so different. Not that it was disrespectful or anything like that. It was just so different. I remember in December, that was like a little weird for me. It was just like, why are they talking to me like that? Like, but it's because I was the owner of the business. Like I am the owner of the business. So I've gotten over that. And I think the other thing that's been really big for me is like balancing and well, it's more of like not feeling guilty when I'm not in the restaurant and not, and realizing I don't have to be there for every little thing. Right. Like that's why I have my leaders. When I was the operating partner, like I was there all the time. Like I was that safety net before it got to my operator. Right. But I have that in place now as an operator. I have three directors and they're the ones that should be like catching all of this stuff. Like I remember like when food safety came for the first time and I was an operator, I like felt so guilty just not being in the restaurant because like I was there helping my team at Brick, but here it was like, no, Christy, like you don't have to be there. I didn't have to be there at Brick, but like I also didn't have, and I don't have to be there. Like you're allowed to do other things, right? And sometimes I'm just like, oh, did I work enough today? Oh, like did I, was I on the floor enough today? Oh, like, and I keep thinking about that and I'm just like, no, Christy, like it's okay. Like I think I've earned the trust of the team. Like they know I'm going to be there for them when it counts. But still inside of me, like I struggle. I'm a workaholic too. Like I love being in the restaurant because I love being in the restaurant. Like I love working. I love bagging. I love making sandwiches. I love just like interacting with the guest. And so when I get home at night and I've already worked 10 hours and not because I have to work 10 hours, just because I love being there. Now it's like 8 o'clock and they're getting hit and they just had a $3,000 hour. I'm just like, I wish I was there to help them. But it's like, Christy, it's okay that you're not there to help them. Like they have to like do it by themselves. So that's been a really big struggle for me. It's just like the guilt piece is like, Christy, it's okay for you to still have a life. Like you have so many other things going on and you don't need to be there all the time. And that's why you've equipped your team to really just to grow. So
what helps reduce the guilt that you feel when you're not there with your team?
Keeping my time occupied with like other things, I feel like is really important. And then I think it's been really helpful because like I'll go in like the next day and I'll look at the sales and I'm like, oh, like I'll talk to the leader and be like, hey, you know, how did last night go? And they're like, oh, like, yeah, we did a $3,000 hour, but like, it didn't feel like it, Christy. It was like, it was so smooth. And I'm just like, that warms my heart, right? Like, that is just like, that's what I want, right? I don't want them to feel pain when they're working at Chick-fil-A. I want it to be easy. Like, obviously there's going to be some days where things happen that are unexpected. But just like recapping from the team and hearing like, oh, the shift was actually really great. Or maybe we had an event and I wasn't there for the event. Cause that's another thing I'm guilty about. Cause I love being there when we have events in the restaurant. But hearing like, yeah, Christy, it went so well. Like we had this many people come out and they loved this about it. And we had these new guests come in and just hearing all of those stories, I think makes me less guilty because my team's got it. Like they really do. They have it. They still need some guidance, but I mean, we've had a few like this month and last month have been really, really great months for my team. Like lots of wins.
So what do you do to feel confident in your team to be able to step away when, yeah, you've already put in a really long day. You can't be there all day. So what have you done to, I guess, make yourself feel confident that you can step away from the business when you need to?
I think we've developed some really strong leaders over the past now 7 months. There were some leaders that I took when it was a core, like they all transitioned with me. And so there was a lot of stuff like the first few months, like the first month was like the honeymoon period, and then January and February is when it started getting a little rocky, just because they just weren't used to my expectations. They've never been led by someone like with my personality, and that was definitely a very big transit. We lost a lot of team members, like, but I knew they were leaving. It was like maybe like 8 people within those first 3 months, which was normal. I thought that was going to happen. But I think I've done a really good job at like equipping the leaders because, so again, like I'm really big on classes. And so I had to kind of backtrack, and all of the leaders that didn't go and get like shift leader under me, I had to backtrack and go ahead and teach them everything. Right. So I had to teach them what food cost was. I had to teach them what labor was. I had to teach them how to do a food safety walk if EcoSure came in. Like I had to teach all of this stuff. And I think because we've put in so much work over the past 7 months, just making sure my team is knowledgeable. Again, knowledge is power. Just making sure that they're knowledgeable and they feel confident in what they're doing. And now we're starting to see a lot of the results from all the stuff that they've been taught, and like them just putting systems in place themselves. It's been really good. And it's been a lot. Like next week, I think I'm off like 3 different days, like sporadically through the week for different things. And I don't feel guilty about it, right? Because I'm like, no, they've got it, right? Like they are able to do this by themselves. Like last month, I was gone for like the first like week and a half of the month, and we had our highest scores for CEMs. And so like, if that doesn't tell you anything, it's like, you know, that was a huge win for us.
Yeah. What are your thoughts there, Ricky?
No idea. Hey, I am like trying to figure out, like I've updated everything. I even turned off graphics acceleration. Like I don't know.
Well, before you poof away again, I was telling Christy that this is payback for me missing a couple episodes. So it's just all on me. So hey, it's okay. I needed to put in some more work.
All
so
good, this is good. All good. I'm sorry, Christy, that it's doing this. I don't know. I've never had it do this before. So I have.
Because the cat's in the room. Blame the cat.
You're going to have cat to go back into the room over there. So hopefully it doesn't cut out here in a second. I turn off graphic acceleration and rebooted a couple of things. I even tried like a private browser. I turned off my VPN, whole bunch of different things. And hopefully this works.
I'm so critical of me a lot, but like when it comes to my team, like I let them know. I think we're really good. I think I'm really good at celebrating wins. Like they're a little spoiled, honestly. They have treats all the time. We just had a team barbecue. We had one of our best months. We had our highest sales month. We had in that sales month, we had our highest sales day, and we had our highest CEMs month. And so like they know they're winning. I make sure they all know it. Like when we have meetings, like we actually got clappers for bingo, and I got the clapper idea from Erin because Erin uses them. My operator coach uses them in her restaurant, but I wanted to bring some more energy to bingo. So I got hand clappers. And so we had our first meeting that recapped May, and we brought the hand clappers out because I was like, this is like something to get real excited about, guys. Like, you know, and there is some ambitious goals that I set for this team when like knowing that like coming in. So I don't know if you've got like heard like growing like 2% OSAT in a year is like really hard to do sometimes. And so I set that goal for my team knowing that they could get there. Like once I met this team and saw like all the care they had for this business, they just weren't equipped, right? They just didn't know how to get there. And so when they hit our goal of 76% OSAT for the first time this year, I was like that is something to celebrate with like them hitting a whole bunch of other CEM scores that we had goals for. So that was something to celebrate, and it was a huge win for them. And like, they know it. Like every time that they're doing something good, like I track car counts. And so like, if I see that they hit a car count record, I'm in the chat, like free milkshakes for everyone on the shift. Like, let's go. Like, that's so exciting. And the team gets so hyped up. I remember, so we did a free breakfast promotion, and it was the week I was gone in May. They actually had a car count record for breakfast. Now in the Northeast, like that is crazy. crazy. And I remember like texting them that, and like I got a picture back, and they were like all smiles and so excited. And like that is what it's about, right? It's about the team executing and winning and letting them know that they're winning, and then showing the good consequences for when they're winning.
What's caught you off guard the most since being an operator? What has surprised you the most since becoming an operator?
That's a hard question to ask. I don't know if anything's really been surprising, because I think my operator did a really good job at prepping me for knowing exactly what I was getting into. Like, I really don't think anything was like, oh my gosh, like, you know, there was like an, oh my gosh, like I'm responsible, like when it came to like legal issues and stuff like that felt on me, but it wasn't anything I didn't know that was going to happen. Right. And I don't think there was really anything that was like, wow, like that wasn't expected. Truly. And I think because my operator Ted like really did a great job at like setting me up for success for becoming an operator. Shout out to Ted.
Shout out Ted. For current LDP participants, so remind me, how long did you spend in LDP, in the Leadership and Development Program?
26 months.
Typically it's between 2 and 3 years, this program. You're grand opening new restaurants, you're leading restaurants that are in a transition period. So for current LDP participants, what is your biggest area of advice for them as they're looking to become an owner operator, whether that's in preparation, whether that's in how they're showing up to their assignments? What would you want to have known if you were in their shoes before you started the program?
Don't treat your inner manager assignments as short-term things. Treat them as if you were the owner, and treat them if you were there long-term. And think about, a lot of participants go in to inner manager assignments and they're like trying to prove a point that like, oh, I did this, I did that, like this was great. But sometimes you're coming in and fixing things that aren't broken, and the team feels it. And so you're actually making more chaos, creating more chaos. And like, if they're already, you're going into an assignment, the restaurant just got ripped up from their stable leader, because that operator went to either a different assignment, whatever happened. And then you're going in and like they're humming on all cylinders. Obviously this operator is getting relocated, right? There's probably a lot of things that were already in place that were working pretty well if he's like getting a different restaurant, different opportunity. So coming in and like not really like listening to like what the employees, and seeing like, hey, what's working and what's not working, and then changing things and flipping things upside down. I think that's a big thing. Just like listen to the people, like find those people you can trust inside the restaurant and like really listen to them. Because I know like that's a big thing at every restaurant. Like sometimes like participants, because they want to get results and they want to get them fast because they're only in there for a short term period. But when they're going in, like, and they're thinking with a short term mindset, they're doing like very quick and like abrupt changes when like the restaurant already went through like one of the biggest changes of all. And that's changes of ownership from an operator to core. And then it's just going to even hurt even more on the other side when an operator comes in and has to make changes to put things back the way they were, because they were working so well.
I've spent a lot of time with LDP aspiring candidates, obviously a lot of time with current LDPers spending 5 years in the program. When you come across someone that you're trying to develop that is lacking self-awareness, maybe it's in how they're communicating or what their role is in their restaurant, like whatever that is, you come across someone who just, they're clearly lacking some self-awareness in a few different areas. How do you approach that? And how do you help them become more aware?
You need to be direct. And I think a lot of people, when they're trying, like we're all we want to be nice. We don't want to hurt people's feelings. Like, that's not like why we're here, right? And I think sometimes, including myself, when we're having like conversations with leaders and, you know, team members, like we want to seem appeasing because we want people to like us, right? But there's going to get to a point where like you need to be direct with them. And so there was an operator that I did an opening for, and he built like kind of his whole leadership around the book, like Radical Candor, I think it was. I think it's by Kim Scott. And it's like, okay, I'm going to give you direct feedback, but I'm going to care for you like you've never been cared for before, right? And I think that's been like really like true in my leadership style, is like I make sure my team feels like they are cared for and supported in all different ways. So when I have to give them that, like, okay, this is what you're doing, like, and it's not okay because they just can't see it, like they're gonna receive it a little bit better because of that trust that I've earned with them, because they know I care for them. It's not coming from a place of like, hey, like you're a terrible person and you're just like not being aware of, you know, that you're coming off passive aggressive, right? Because people don't usually know that they're coming off passive aggressive. And so, but being really direct and giving them really clear examples is like the easiest way for them to be more like aware of it moving forward. Did that answer your question?
Yes, that's beautiful. I love Radical Candor. It's such a practical way to explain why feedback is a gift and why it's a good thing and why feedback shouldn't be seen as a bad thing, but it's actually one of the most caring things you can do for your team is to share with them how can they improve, how can you help them grow. Rick, I got one last question and then you can close it out.
And then before I have you go, I'll just apologize for all the issues and then I'll ask Christy a few questions. But once again, guys, I am so sorry. This was not the plan. I don't know what the heck is going on, but we'll figure it out.
Do you want me to ask the final question or are you taking over?
Yeah, right? No, you go ahead. You can go ahead and ask.
Cool. I just got one more. That's it. Christy, what is a leadership principle that you are so passionate about that you get upset when you see others miss this?
Integrity. Like, just own your stuff. Like, own it. Like, you're going to make a mistake. It's fine. Did the store burn down? No. Right? And there, most of the times, it's stuff that you can get over. And just, like, okay, you're not going to make that mistake ever again. But, like, don't lie. Like, own your stuff. Tell me the truth. Like, if you screwed up, you screwed up. Same thing for me. Like, I remember, like, there was a huge mistake I made when I was working for my operator. And I remember it hurt a lot because I know like I screwed up in a really big way, but at the end of the day, I learned from it and it's not going to happen ever again. Right. And so, yeah, just own your stuff. Don't try to hide things from me. Just be you. Like you have, cause like one, I'm expecting you to hold others accountable too. So if you can't even hold yourself accountable, how are you going to hold others accountable?
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, integrity is like one of my number one core values. And we talk a lot about it in the restaurant.
You heard it here first. Own your stuff.
Yeah.
All right, Christy. Hey, once again, I just want to call out real quick, guys. Like, I am so sorry for all the technical issues. We've been going in and out. Big thank you to Chris for holding down the fort and continuing the podcast as I'm working through some issues. But Christy, I'd love to ask you just a few questions just to kind of round out our time today. In case there's any question that Chris kind of already asked you, like, please let me know and we'll be happy to pivot as we need to. So I'm not sure how much we got into of like where we met. I know Chris, you and myself were all on the same grand opening assignment right in the middle of COVID. That's where I think there was 8 or 9 of us participants all at this location. I know when I've talked to Chris about it in the past, like he was like, hey, this is probably one of my was favorite assignments, because how often will you get 8 or 9 participants all in one opening? And I will say, like, I had a ton of fun. I know it was also a little crazy with everything going on. But anyway, so a little background there. But kind of heading into it, I know that we've all kind of stayed in touch through our journey. I know one of the things that I saw very quickly is how passionate you were about excellence, right? I think I don't remember. I can't remember the exact conversation. There was one conversation I remember. We were sitting down. We're all kind of in the dining room, and we were just talking. You're like, "Well, like, here's the expectation. I want to continue improving that expectation. Like, it needs to get better than what it was." But there was also this other side of where you ensured that people were first. So passionate about excellence, and but also ensuring people were first. How do you keep those in balance? I know you've talked about radical candor. Yeah, love to anything you could add on to that.
Yeah, and so I think the biggest thing for me to balance both is, one, you have to earn trust with the team, right? Like, yep. It's going to be a lot easier for me to be like, hey, this was incorrectly done. Hey, we need to do it. Try this a different way. Hey, we're not hitting our goals. Mm-hmm. Why are we not hitting our goals? If, like, I've built that trust already, right? Like, if I come in and haven't built that trust. And so my first, like, few months was just really focused on loving on my team a lot and just earning that trust, getting to know who they are, getting to know their stories. Because one, that's a big thing. That's why I love what I do, right? I get to meet all these people. Like, they truly are my second family. You know, I really, you know, I see them more than my husband, right? Like, truly. And so, you know, I really want to make sure, like, they feel cared for while they're at the restaurant. So a big thing for me is I have an open door policy. So one, I have my Calendly. That's more for, like, conversations that are more focused on, like, leadership development.
Yeah.
My team knows that they can Slack me whenever they want and be like, hey, Christy, are you going to be in the store today? I really need to talk to you about something.
Yeah.
You know, like, I had a leader call me like 2 weeks ago. I was literally on my way in. She's like, Christy, like, I know we have our meeting at 2, but she's like, I really need to talk to you before this meeting. And, like, she's going through something, like, complete traumatic.
Yeah.
Right. But, like, I've built that trust with my team where they can come and talk to me about anything. And they know they're going to be with someone who listens to them and really hears them and tries to, like, problem solve with them. Right. It's like, okay, well, like, what is option one? Like, what is option two? Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing is, like, having that open door policy.
Yeah.
And again, like, we talked about trust, like, that's a huge thing for my team. Right. But you're not gonna, like, your team's not gonna earn trust with you if you're not in the store and you're not present in the store. Right. Like, a big thing for me is, like, making sure, like, when I'm in the store, like, I am there, I am present, I am very intentional with my time. So, like, I don't schedule any meetings during non-peak hours, or sorry, during peak hours, I don't schedule any meetings. So, like, 5 to close, there's no meeting. Nope. Like, I may there be there at 10 o'clock at night, and some restaurants are like, well, you can probably do a meeting at 8. It probably slows down. Not our restaurant. We are, like, full swing and full force at 8 o'clock.
Staying pretty busy all the way through closing, basically, right?
Pretty busy, yes. And so I make sure, like, it's either before, you know, before 11 o'clock or from 2 to 5, really, in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And so I do, and again, I get to know all of my new team members too, right? So we do a 3-stage interview process, and I am the final interview. And it's not because I have to be the final interview, but it's because, like, I truly want to get to know every single person who's about to join my team.
Yeah.
And then also, like, set the expectations before they even start orientation. So it's coming from me, the operator, like, hey, this is what I'm expecting out of you, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, we are very selective of who we're hiring, and people think I'm really too selective of who we're hiring, but we're fortunate enough to be in a stage where, like, we can be super, super selective of who we bring on our team. And so, again, I think all of that, like, helps us win. And then I talked about this a little bit before, but, like, celebrating the wins, making work fun, right? Like, how do we celebrate when we hit a food safety score of 1 after our visit? Well, I go to Target, Walmart, wherever, get treats and bring them into the store, right? Is it the most like elaborate celebration? No. But the team's excited because I get to eat cupcakes and sugary stuff, right? And, like, that is what it's all about, is just, like, celebrating them, shouting them out. Again, praise in public, coach in private, right? Like, we have a whole channel. It's called a shout-out channel on our Slack channel. And the team's encouraged to, like, take pictures and post pictures of them, like, hey, like, this person did this today, and it was a great thing. And we're really focused on, like our the moment makers of our team. Like that's something that Chick-fil-A is really, really focused on right now. And so we got these stickers from corporate and they literally say moment maker on them. So they get to like get a sticker and choose what sticker they want. And then they take a picture and it's a whole big celebration. So yeah, celebrating the wins.
For sure. That's awesome. I'm going to Brian. Christy, I've got one last question to round out our time today. It's going to be the hardest question you're going to get today, though. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. It'll probably be the most fun question you get today. What is your purpose and how do you get to live it out as an operator every day?
Yeah. So my personal statement is family first, have fun and grow others. Short and sweet. But that's literally what I'm all about. Right. And so being an operator allows me that flexibility now to be with my family and really prioritize them, because my work-life balance in the past was terrible. Like before LDP, like my husband can tell you, it was really, really bad. Like I would just be at work all day. Don't even text him like, hey, how are you? And like, that would be a problem. But now I'm allowed, I have that flexibility with my schedule to be like, hey, like, you know, like I don't have to be there every single Saturday in the restaurant. I don't have to be there, you know, every single morning. And so like I can really prioritize like my family with my schedule now, which is super. And I also encourage my team to prioritize their family, which is super important. So if they're like, hey, like, you know, I need to take off because take off. Go ahead. Like, you know, in advance and you're good. Like, you know, and that was something that I appreciated with like my old operator too. Like he understood like we had family things going on. And so like we needed off. And then my favorite quote from Chew It Kathy has to do with my second one. So if you're not having fun, you're not doing it right. And I literally am just trying to, you know, have fun in the restaurant. We're really big on events in our restaurant. Yeah. I think this week we've had the cow out every single day. But one, it's fun for the community, but two, it's fun for the team. Like the team loves when the cow is out. They think it's so fun. They mess with them.
Do they like getting in the cow though? That's probably the next question.
We have a few people who love getting in the cow. I remember they had the cow out. What day was it? I think last Friday they had the cow out and we were doing sampling with the cow. And this was like the first time we've had him out during the day, but there was no school. So we had the cow out during the day and I'm in the office doing work. And then all of a sudden I hear like, so we're really big at playing music because again, having fun, right? Like
for sure,
it when it's loud and we're playing music and I hear this new song and my team is highly Hispanic. So it's La Vaca. I don't know if you've heard that song. And it's like,
oh, yeah. I will say that song I've heard so many times in my kitchen in Miami that I was just like, guys, can we change the song just because I heard it? I'd say probably 3 or 4 times a day.
So, okay, fun fact, cows are my favorite animal even before I started working at Chick-fil-A. So now that's just like an added perk to being a Chick-fil-A operator. But two, I've never heard that song and I love cows. And I'm like, how have I never heard this song? Well, anyway, I poke my head out because I'm like, what is going on? And I look and my whole team is like dancing with the cow to the song in my kitchen. And I'm like, this is literally what it's about, right? This is what it's about. It's about having fun. Like you need to have fun while you're at work. So we just try to make sure like we're doing fun things. Like we had our team barbecue this past month and that was so fun to where they're like, Christy, can we just like play volleyball on like one Sunday? I'm like, yeah, like let's do it, like let's do and so that's super fun. And then my last part is obviously growing others. And like if you guys haven't like understood already, like I'm pretty big on like growing others and have a passion for developing others. And so that's my purpose. And I literally I get to do it every day and I honestly have never had such a fulfilling job. And I'm like so thrilled and excited that Chick-fil-A chose me to be, you know, here at Chick-fil-A North Bergen. And I landed exactly where I was supposed to be with this team. And I'm truly living the dream, truly living the dream.
Yeah. That's awesome. It's awesome. I'm glad it all came together.
Yes.
Like you can definitely tell, and you can also tell when someone has it in their voice of like how passionate they are and how thankful they are. So you can definitely hear it there. So in case no one's ever told you, which you probably hear it all the time, but in case no one's ever told you, you can definitely hear it in your voice. And I think that's a very important part of like what we do with our life, our career, professionally, personally, all of that, integrating those two. Just one quick follow-up. So you said fun is very, very important, right? If like you're not having fun, you're not doing it right. So do is one of your core values fun, or is it like, just is there something that, that kind of ties in core value-wise?
So positivity is one. So I guess like we could like allude that. So we're actually like reworking my whole entire culture page, because, and so it might be added to it, but right now it's not. But I think that's a good idea. I can let my team know, like, cause me and my leaders are working on what, cause like when I made the culture page for our restaurant, it was like, Chrissy is trying to be an operator. This is what I think I want the store to be. Right. And now that I've been in it, I'm like, okay, like I want my leaders to have a huge input on what they want our culture to be. Yeah. And so, yeah, we're working through that. And hopefully by the end of July, we'll have our new culture page up and running, but I definitely am going to recommend having fun as one of our core values.
Yeah. No, that'd be awesome. I would even add in. So the reason I was asking as well is like, as I thought more and more about it, you have a largely Hispanic team. Maybe that core value can be in Spanish to have fun as well. That's
so my all my resources are in Spanish. So nice. That's awesome. I have like my culture page is like English, and then Spanish is right underneath of it. So like all my core values are in English and Spanish.
That is awesome.
Even had one of my core values was grit, but it didn't translate into Spanish really well. So we changed it to hardworking, so it would change. It would translate into Spanish really well. But yeah, no, we definitely. Make sure that all of our resources are bilingual in our restaurant, which has also been something I'm super passionate about as well. So,
yeah, no, that's awesome. I definitely can say that's something I've been passionate about. I've realized opening stores in Miami, working in Miami for some time, and now serving a lot of the border cities in Texas, it's something that is needed and very appreciated by the team when you're able to really connect that English to Spanish. And I know like where you're at, along with New York City, along with Chicago, the LA area, you know, there's sort of largely Hispanic communities. And so I think that's where you can combine that purpose as well. Like, hey, am I positively affecting people? And am I bringing it to my community? So definitely something that's exciting. Makes me kind of say like, hey, are you hiring? Because I might you might go out there. But anyways, Chrissy, thank you so much for spending time with us today. I'd love to just last thing. It's not really a question, but more, is there anything that you'd love to just to anyone listening that you'd love for them just to know either about yourself or about leadership or Chick-fil-A, anything that you kind of left out and you'd love to just share with somebody?
Yeah. I mean, just be yourself. Like I'm not the most like well-spoken person in the room, but like, make sure you're just like your authentic self. Yeah. I know a lot of people listening to this are probably either going through like LDP interviews or operator interviews. And like, yes, you need to be like somewhat well-spoken, but like, just make sure you don't lose yourself in the answers, because if you're not yourself, like who are they selecting? Right. Like you want them to select you for you. So just be yourself.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, on that note, I think we ended the episode in a great place. So big thank you to you, Chrissy, for joining us on the podcast today. Big shout out to Chris. Thank you for holding down the fort while we were having all those issues. So thank you so much, Chris. And then just thank you for everyone that's listening out there for joining us today. We hope this episode provides inspiration, encouragement, and community. So please follow, share, and like our podcast, The Leaders Table, hosted by Chris Lipscomb and Ricky Villanueva, on LinkedIn, Spotify, Amazon Music. You can go to rss.com or really just anywhere that you get your podcast. And so with that, just thank y'all so much.